him next, first of the stage in the second half. A wonderful storyteller. He has become a Your Stories pro this year. I love what he has to say all the time. Please welcome Brian Willey.
Woo! I think everybody's got, a lot of people have got some kind of strange story, ghost story, paranormal type event, you know, if you really think about it. And this is the one that happened to me that I remember to this day. Sanctuary. When I was in college, drinks were cheap, people smoked indoors and everywhere, and Chicago was colder. It just was. The winters brought mountains of snow and sub-zero temperatures with icy winds, and it was on just such a day that I went to visit some friends. I was in college with them, but they lived in an apartment with actual rooms, and they had an adult-sized refrigerator, while I lived on campus in one tiny room with a little toy refrigerator. You could get a lot more beer in their fridge. And there was no worry of a resident advisor coming by to investigate the sweet, sweet smell of marijuana. So I went to their place pretty often. The boys were less excited about living there. They made the best of it, but they started saying their place was haunted almost from the moment that they moved in. At the time, the neighborhood still had some old pool halls, some bars, some music halls around, as the full gentrification of Lincoln Park hadn't happened yet. And some of the old-timers that you'd meet in these places told stories about cemeteries in the area. Family burial plots, church cemeteries, even Indian burial grounds. The story we heard was that the corner of Southport and Fullerton had been just such a cemetery before someone built a three-flat on it during the 20s or the 30s. I was a modern-day college student, though, and believed more in my father's mantra of, "It's the live ones you have to worry about, not the dead ones." Yeah. So I figured their stories and concerns were the freaked-out, paranoid ramblings of guys who smoked too much weed and drank too much beer. Plus, they had an actual criminal gang living across the street from them that they didn't get along with. And that was no doubt stressful. I had taken Psych 101 and purchased the optional DSM book, which is for diagnosing mental health issues, so I felt pretty confident labeling them as paranoid weed smokers who are also very stressed. But let's go back. Back to that icy afternoon in Chicago and the dying light from a steely gray sky. By the time I walked over and arrived at their door, it was nearly dark and I was very cold. It wasn't cool to dress appropriately for the weather, so we all dressed in black t-shirts with untucked flannel shirts over that, sometimes with a bomber or a leather jacket over that, unzipped, of course. Gloves made it hard to light things, so we usually just jammed our hands in our pockets. Thank God for knit watch caps, which we allowed ourselves to wear. I walked into the warm front room with its exposed light bulb hanging from the ceiling and its staticky TV showing football, while the stereo played Minor Threat. It was loud and chaotic, half a dozen guys yelling, everyone already buzzed except me. But there was an emergency. They had run out of beer. The huge suburban house-sized fridge had somehow run out of beer. There were loud debates about walking or driving to the liquor store, and finally they all piled out toward the car. One of the guys that actually lived there turned around just before walking out and said, "Hey, we'll be right back. Help yourself to some herb. If anything weird happens, just go outside for a while or meet us at Stan's bar." I didn't know what he meant by that, but I thought it was nice that he gave me a contingency plan, like we were in middle school and they were my parents going out for the evening. I mean, seriously, yeah. Walking down the long hallway to the kitchen, I double-checked the fridge, hoping that somehow a beer had been missed. But no, it was cold, white, and completely empty, like my soul. But the apartment was warm, almost too warm thanks to the radiators, and there was a large bong on the coffee table in the front room and a great record collection to leaf through. So I threw some Bad Brains on and sat down on one of the lumpy, squeaky chairs and began loading up Fredonia, which is what we call that particular smoking device. The TV signal got worse, though, and I stood to fuck around with the aerial antenna. Then the light hanging from the ceiling started to flicker. I decided that was a bigger priority, and I got up on a chair to mess with it. I grabbed it too high up, though. I didn't realize it was an exposed wire, and bam! I woke up on the floor of the apartment with an unpleasant tingling all through my arm. My head hurt, or I'd slammed it against the floor. Now it was dark, except for the flickering light from the TV and the glow from the kitchen down the hall. I heard the back door open and heavy footsteps in the kitchen. Drawers opening. I yelled, "Hey, bring me a beer." No response. Quiet. Now I was mad. "Bring me a beer already. I just got fucking electrocuted, you assholes." Nothing. I got up with my half-asleep arm and my throbbing head and the static light from the TV and pounded down the hallway, ready to explain to them in detail why they sucked as human beings. It was bone cold in the kitchen, and there were drawers open, but there was nobody there. And the heavy back door was closed, with its two padlocks locked. The furious words disappeared from my throat, and the hair stood up on the back of my neck. I double-timed it down the hallway and into the warm, dark, flickering front room. My heart was beating fast, and my mouth was dry, and now I was absolutely convinced I was being watched. I bolted out the front door, and I slammed it shut behind me. I booked it to Stan's Tap Room, which is a place that sells you liquor to go, but is also a bar. Stan's had the biggest pit bull I've ever seen behind the counter, and it was the first and only time that it looked away from me when I walked in, instead of staring at me hard until I reached the bar. Stan, the owner and bartender, told me I looked like I'd seen a ghost. I quietly sat down, I ordered a whiskey, and I waited for the boys to find me. Thank you.
Creepy up in here tonight, guys. Oh, man. Hope there's no ghosts in here. Girls.